Welcome to Network Marketing Breakthroughs Podcast with Rob Sperry, where you will hear stories and strategies to help increase sales in your business. Let's level up your network marketing business with your host, Rob Sperry.
So I had the good fortune of attending a John Maxwell event, and this John Maxwell event was actually for many of the top leaders in all of network marketing. It was a pretty pricey event. It had only those that were six and seven figure earners. And one of those leaders that I finally got to meet offline was Andrea. And one of the things that I loved about Andrea when we were talking is I just learned that she's a single mom, but yet she's crushed her business. And she'll tell a really powerful story, but she'll go into the whole mom guilt and how to overcome it and how to be effective with your time. And if you're a guy and you're listening, you're like, how does this relate with me? Are you kidding me? Over 70 to 80% of the profession are comprised of females. So you better learn this stuff because this is going to be a question that comes up frequently. And so I always love to hear from people their real life stories and experiences and what they did. And she's one of those top leaders that reached the top rank in her company. She's a mover and shaker. And so she'll give you some of those real life experiences and stories that she went through, and then some strategies on how to overcome the mom guilt and how just to be more effective in your business.
We're going to get some good insight from, I'll consider a friend now, that we got to hang out a little bit at the John Maxwell event. That was fun. Out in Atlanta, got to learn a little bit about you and Andrea, about your background and being a mom, single mom with four kids. I mean, I'm just thinking about that for a second. You're telling me how your kids are in like dance and flag football and school starting. The reason why I thought about that, because I've got four kids. When people ask for having more kids, I'm like, well, we're kind of on the four and no more program. We feel like we're good parents, but we try to have the older kids help us raise the younger. That doesn't always work out well. The youngest gets away with pretty much way too much. Let's just say that. So I'm thinking in my mind, my wife's full time taking care of the four kids and a little bit comedian, which is true story. And I've heard it because she'll come up with the smart, wise cracks all the time. So you may hear a couple, a little bit. They may be directed at me. So no one get offended for me. It's okay. I'll just deflect. I got it. But I want you to tell them a little bit of your background, and let's just get into it after that. I'll interrupt and make sure and make a point of emphasis because this is important. But how do we do that? I mean, you build a huge multi-million dollar business. Mm-hmm. You got four kids, just craziness. And you are a teacher. So many people think you got to have like this background of sales and stuff. And I actually always tell people that I feel like teachers and real estate agents, those that are not hard selling but are learning to communicate, and coaches. I was a former coach, so I get in props to the coaches. I feel like they actually do the best because it's just effective communication, not like, you got to do this or anything. So go. People want to hear from you, not me.
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, I'm so stoked that you reached out to me and just wanted to talk and share today because, you know, I absolutely love what we get to do every day. And I love getting the opportunity to inspire other moms and women out there to really take a hold of their home life and their professional life and their inspirational life, because I feel like we have so much of that. So yeah, my background is education. I grew up in a very poor kind of like background when I was younger, really so low socioeconomic status, our family struggled financially a lot, single parent home. And I was in school in fifth grade, and I had a fifth grade teacher who just moved the needle for me. And she just really inspired me to be more than where my circumstances were, you know, and she just loved on me and inspired me and told me that I could do anything I wanted to do. Like I could be successful, anything I want to do. And I had never had anybody in my life tell me that I could be successful in anything I wanted to do. So at a very early age, I developed this connection between whatever I want to do, I can be successful. It was kind of like an ingrained affirmation, if you will, and a belief that I had about myself. And so, you know, I went away to school, first kid in my family to go to college. And I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I wanted to go into education. I wanted to be that light for other kids. And so against all advice on the planet, I returned to my hometown to teach. And I absolutely loved every aspect of it. I was super duper excited to be in a classroom inspiring kids. So if you're a teacher, let me just say that you guys are the real heroes of the world. Teachers absolutely are. And that comes from a place of having been one, and it comes from a place of being a mom with four kids in school who, you know, you get to deal with all my fun kids' energy during the day when they're not at home. But yeah, so here I was working this full-time job. So my first year of teaching, right? I want to be a successful teacher. I want to be successful in life. And I started working toward that. So if you can imagine, I got married, I bought a house, I started teaching, and I had a baby all in the same calendar year. Like, what is happening, right? That's insanity. And then I got this bright idea that it wasn't enough. I didn't want to just be a teacher. I wanted to go back to school, and I wanted to be able to move the needle for teachers. Because if I can move the needle for teachers, then they're going to have the ability to move the needle for kids. And so I went back to school, and through two pregnancies in 3 years, I obtained 3 master's degrees and became assistant principal of an elementary school. So here again, that inset idea of like anything I want to do, I can be successful. And so here I am balancing school and pregnancy and toddlers and newborns and master's classes and a full-time job, and moved right into a position of administration. And it was about a year and a half into that, 2 years into that, that I kind of like pulled my head down out of the clouds maybe. And I just took a look around at life, and I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening? I have a 1, 3, and 5-year-old. I am in $200,000 of student loan debt. My pay is not going to increase anytime soon. And life's about to get more expensive. And how is all of this going to work? Like, how is all of this going to work? Like, if I'm struggling financially now, and I'm supposed to be at the top of my game, then how am I going to make life work? And so I had this daunting idea in the back of my brain of impending struggle. And it freaked me out because I did what everybody says we're supposed to do. Like, how many of us were told, go to school, like graduate high school, go to college, get a good job, you're going to be fine. Like, I bought into that idea. I went to college. I got a great job teaching right out of college. I went back to school, obtained 3 master's degrees. And here I was in the career of my dreams with like this beautiful little family and supposed to be loving life. And I was drowning financially. And that's where I stumbled across the network marketing industry. And, you know, the funny thing is I wasn't a skeptic. I had seen many people win and many people be successful. I watched my mom sell things here and there to bring in a little bit of money. So I knew the viability. I just didn't know if I could be successful. And I ran into a conversation with myself because I was like, wait a minute. You said anything that you want to be, like anything you want to do, you can be successful with it.
Now what age was that again? You said it was a teacher early on in life. What age was that?
I started teaching when I was 22.
And what age was it when a teacher told you could do anything and you bought it?
I was 10.
10 years old.
Yeah.
I think that's an important principle, not just for those of us that have kids, because I can't even imagine that, because, you know, I've told my kids ever since they're born, they can do anything. I think we just forget, some of us, that people need to hear that. And I think that's a learning lesson. And I want to come back to you, keep going on your story, but I want to point that out. That's a huge learning lesson in your network marketing business, because sometimes we gain the belief, but we forget so many others don't have the belief.
Yeah.
And your goal is to empower others. That's a huge part of this business. Empower self, right? Because that gives credibility. So people have someone to believe in, and you have to become that person you'd want to recruit. And then empowering others and giving that vision and perspective. And my mentor, even though I had a really high sense of belief, my mentor had made over $30 million now. And he kept telling me, he's like, Rob, you are better than all these 6 and 7 figure earners. It's just going to take you some time. You're going to be better than all of them. And it got to the point where eventually, after 6 months, I believed it. I knew I wasn't there yet, but I started to believe it because he just kept telling me, even when my check was like $400 for the month, he's like, that's okay. You're going to do it. So I just want to reiterate that for all of us. It's a huge learning lesson, not just for kids, but in our business. Sometimes we lack so much belief in ourselves that we have nothing to draw from, and we're so scared to believe in others because we make ourselves the issue. Well, I haven't made great money yet. And, you know, so how am I supposed to? Well, why can't they be better than you? and you got other leaders and you got great company, like just believe in others. And I know it's a lot easier to do that when you got something to draw from, but I just wanted to point that out and reiterate, because this is just such a powerful story. 200K, it's student loan debt. I mean, geez.
No, you don't even understand. Like, my monthly student loan payments were 2/3 of my paycheck. And I was already all the way over and all the way down the pay scale. And it was like, I didn't live in it. I mean, my gosh, like I lived in my hometown. It's like 10,000 population. So nothing fancy, a very, very, very modest home. We're talking 900 square feet. We're talking 3 toddlers and 2 adults. And so, you know, like it wasn't like I was living outside of my means, but man, student loan debt is real and it's a real stressor. And so, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay for my kids to go to college when I still have all this debt? And how am I going to figure this out? And I have to come home and be the hero every single day to my children. They look up to me and I'm just like emotionally and mentally and physically, I'm like tapping out, right? Like I'm tapping out before I even get in the house. Like, mom, do you guys know what it is? So you pull in the driveway and you're just like this. And you know it because you have to take a deep breath before you like walk back inside. And there's some of us who have even parked down the street, just like have a moment because you got to walk back in and be the hero. And like when life is hard, when your situation is challenging, it really can take a toll on you. And so to come back to your point on building belief, I have a very big, you know, here's what I want people to understand, because we think that we cannot believe in other people if we don't believe in ourselves. And I think that's a horrible lie that we tell ourselves. It's a horrible lie. And the reason I say that is because many of us have never played the sports our kids are playing.
That's a good point.
Yet we're in the car with them on the way to the game or the swim meet or the competition. And we say things to them like, oh my gosh, you're gonna crush your backstroke today. And oh my gosh, you're gonna nail, you know, your choreography. And son, you're gonna get up and you're gonna pitch and you're gonna pitch no hitters because you're form. And we talk to them like we invented the sport, right? We cast so much belief.
You can do this.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Hey, mom, like you've never played before.
Like cue the like emotional like orchestra that's not in my car right now to go along with this heartfelt moment, like I'm the coach from the Miracle movie in my SUV, you know, while my kids are slamming like water and granola bars. And it's so true. And so here's what my advice is for those of you guys who are also building businesses. You will not be a successful business builder if you are not also a successful belief builder. You have to be a belief builder before you're a business builder. Those two go together. You cannot build a business without building belief in other people. And we, you know, we have to give that up in the beginning. See, a lot of people, when they get started in their businesses, here's their thing. Well, I'll believe that it works when, right? I'll believe this works when I make my first check. I'll believe this works when my first person tells me yes. Or I'll believe this works when, you know, I'm crossing the stage and all those different things. And it's crazy. So we hold out on belief for ourselves for these things. And a lot of times we have a tendency or this natural desire to, well, I'm not going to believe in so-and-so until they've done X, Y, and Z. And that is not the correct way to go. You have to give belief from the beginning, because when that person is coming on board, when they're evaluating the opportunity, when they're looking at coming on board with you in your business, they are really, you know, putting out like they're like casting out this invisible bridge to you that you have to build for them. And that bridge is built in belief. Like we have to give that from the very beginning. You've got to believe in their potential and their success, because they're going to come to you in a belief deficit 100% every single time. And so you have to cast that for them from the very beginning. Like there's a saying, and believe in everybody and count on no one, right? Like that's like kind of like a tried and true quote, unfortunately, in life. And I think that's terrible. Believe in everybody and count on yourself to believe in them too. Like that's what I like to say. So building that belief is so incredibly important.
And I love that. I think looking at, and then we're going to get into, I want to hear how you actually made this business go without having the guilt, because I know it's a big thing and I know it's talked about, but I think it's so important for people to hear these different perspectives on it. As I'm listening to this and I've seen what you've done in your business and I've seen you juggle, I don't know, what do you have? 8, 6th grader, 4th grader, 3rd grader. Did I get them right?
Yeah, 5th grader, not 6th grader.
Okay. 8th, 5th, 4th, 3rd. Oh my goodness. Like, I start thinking about that and I'm like, And then she's building her business and she doesn't have the guilt, and she's found a way to make it the reason, even though everyone's like, well, make it the reason. And then all these moms are trying to figure, well, how do I do that? And how do I juggle this? And I'm trying to do this and this and this. And somehow she's done that. And I hear that. And then I think of the beliefs, and the main beliefs that we need to have is we got to have belief in our products. We got to have belief in the network marketing profession. We got to have belief in our network marketing company. We got to have belief in other people. And those beliefs, as we're building, we're always building the belief in ourselves. And if we build those five beliefs, I mean, literally, like sometimes you're like, yeah, belief, fluff, fluff. Are you kidding me? How are you supposed to sell anything you don't believe in? Anything in life. It's not just network marketing. You got to have belief. Otherwise, you're going to feel shady. You're going to feel like a taker. And I promise you, it's going to be short-lived. You're going to move on to the next thing. So you got to find a way to find those core beliefs. So for you, you found those core beliefs. And then you found enough belief in yourself and your vision and your perspective, right, of what you were going to do for your family, for your kids, where now it's like you get to decide your schedule for the most part. I know as a leader, there's always certain things that are hard. But right. Now you can almost feel like every day can be a birthday for you. Every single day can be a celebration. Every day can be a holiday if you want. But it wasn't always that way. So tell us, like, what's the secret sauce, like mind tips for everyone to get over this?
Oh my gosh. Can I just say, like, first of all, take the pressure off of yourself. Like, I think we all just naturally wear this invisible hat. Like, well, I don't care if you're a mom or a dad, you have kids or you don't kids. We all wear this like hat of pressure. Just take it off for a quick second, because you know what? I had very quick success in my business. I did not come from another company. I did not bring a team. I did not have any. I started from super scratch. And I started like most people probably do. Well, let's just see how this goes. In fact, I got started and I didn't do anything for like the first month. Like, I did zero because I was working 12 hours a day with three toddlers at home. And there came this point where I had to decide, well, I'm either going to do something with this or I'm not. Like, maybe this was brought to me because I don't have time to teach the college classes. I don't have time to teach online credentialing courses. I don't want to be gone late at nights and every weekend teaching at a university. I want to be watching Paw Patrol and eating pancakes. You know, it was at that point in that decision that I came to with it. And it was just like, well, let's just see how it goes. Let's just see what happens. And it was crazy because, you know, I don't have to get into the ins and the outs of actually building the business, but it was just a decision. You know how that there's times when you just make a decision to do something and you're just like super gung-ho. Like, sometimes we get the decision, we're like, hey, I need to organize my garage. And you can think about it for like weeks, but the minute you... And I'm a single mom, so I organize my own garage. I don't have a dude to do it. I'm not asking for a dude to do it. I don't need a dude to do it.
Hey, my wife putting everything together and organizing the garage and like putting together barbecue. Like, half time she's going to do it, she's like, you always screw it up. And she just goes and does it. I'm like, all right, you go.
Yeah. Thank you. There's so much honesty in all that. But yeah, it's just, you guys screw it up and you're slower. We can just get it done. Like, just go sit on the couch and watch that football game. Just kidding, ladies. We love when the guys help, right? So but you get that idea and then you just go and you're gung-ho. And then like afterwards, you're like, oh my gosh, like I did it. I got it done. It wasn't bad as I thought it was going to be. And I'm really excited about the results. And that's kind of how I felt when I made the decision to just really take a hold of the business and to get down and dirty with it, right? Just to get in there, roll up my sleeves and get to work. And I understood sacrifice. I was working as a teacher full-time, pregnant and having babies and going to school and earning three master's degrees in an 18-month period, right? So I didn't have the three babies in 18 months, by the way. It was two of them and then the master's program. But that's insanity. And we all have those moments in our lives where we look back and we're like, oh my gosh, how did I do that? How did I even survive? How did that even work? But you just get into go mode because you're tired of being in the stuck mode or the broke mode or the struggle mode or the hurting mode or whatever it is. And in 4 months, I hit the top position in my company. In 4 months, in 120 days, generated over 200,000 in volume, hit the top position, became the first woman to do that. And for me, it was just like, this is amazing. And I keep this up in the next handful of months, I can pay off all my student loan debt. And again, I had that belief. If I can be successful in anything that I want to do, right? And so had that summer off, continue building the business. And in 11 months, generated $208,000 in income part-time and wiped out $206,000 of student loan debt and felt so confident about where life was taking me and the direction I was being pulled into that I, a few weeks later, retired from my full-time career in education at the ripe old age of 30 with a 2-, 4-, and 6-year-old at home. Right?
I mean, I think about that though, and people are like, you know, some of it people are thinking how, but I mean, I'm going to come back to this, and this is really simple, is everyone says the vision is clear, but in her mind, the vision was so clear that the return on her investment of time was worthy. And what I mean by that is every single one of you, if you felt like if you made 50 new contacts, I know that's insane. I know that's a stupid number. And I know that's nearly impossible. But if I said you had to make 50 new contacts every single day for the next 4 months, and then you would never have to work another day of your life, it's your choice if you wanted to, I pretty much could guarantee at least 99% of you would do that. The difference is she talked about when she was 10 years old, she said, hey, I can do anything. And she had this mindset and this belief. And so she had the vision of what she would gain, right? Family memories, time with kids, out of debt, right? Like everything she'd ever wanted. But she also had the belief that, look, the return on my investment of time is going to happen. Now, she probably didn't know it was going to happen that quickly. Maybe she did.
No. I didn't even understand how the comp plan worked. I did not at all. I just understood how to help people be successful right away. Those foundational building blocks of your business, guys, they are the secret. Like, those are the secret. The foundational building blocks of whatever your business is, that is the secret. So if you're not sure what that is, talk to your leader and be like, what are the foundational building blocks? And just get obsessive about it. Just get obsessive about it. Because that's all that I did. But let's talk about how exciting that sounds. But let's rewind that back here for like reality check, right? Because that's not to say that I didn't give up my nights, that I didn't give up my weekends, that I didn't make sacrifices. Within that first 30 days of kind of getting into of getting into action, I had a really good scope of what that was going to look like, meaning, oh my gosh, okay, here it is. Here's life and debt and all the things that are really hard about right now, right? Being tired, struggling with trying to maintain this persona of being the perfect mom and having it all together and all these different things at the same time that I want to build this business because I felt like it was a super great gateway to alleviating all this, right? And I recognized what it was going to take. And there's going to become a time when you have to really look at what it's going to take and you have to decide if it's worth it, right? We have to go through that for ourselves. And, you know, I crack up because people often, you know, associate life with the things that we have. Like, you know, oh, I want to save up for the next 5 years or, you know, do this for the next 5 years so that I can have this. And, you know, I don't ever look at life like it's money really isn't anything. Everything is based on time, right? Everything is based on time. And, you know, am I willing to do something for a short period of time to give me everything that I want? And again, I want to remind everybody, I love my career in education. I did not have to set an alarm. I was the first one to work, the last one to leave. I loved my job. There was so much joy in what I was doing because it is my absolute passion. But a very big part of me struggled every single day because my son was in kindergarten. And here's what really fueled it. So if you can imagine, I'm in this place of recognizing the level of work it's going to take. The fact that I'm probably going to have to not be home every night. The fact that I'm probably going to spend the majority of my weekends building the business, working with people. And that I was going to be giving up quite a bit. The Paw Patrol and the pancakes I just talked about. But the pivotal moment for me was I was in my kitchen and my son who was in kindergarten, my oldest now who's 13, was at the kitchen table. And I'll never forget this moment, guys, because we have these moments that change everything for us. And I was standing at the stove and I was making spaghetti for dinner. And I was stirring the sauce and stirring the pasta. And my son's at the table working on some homework and he's 5. And he says to me, he goes, "Mommy, when are you going to come to my classroom like all the other mommies do?" And I'm like, well, baby, I can't come to your classroom like all the other mommies do because I have to be at work and I have my school." He didn't attend my school. And I said, "And I have my school and I have to be there for my students and my teachers and everybody else every single day." And he goes, "So basically," he's 5 years old, mind you, and my back is to him. He goes, "So basically, your job is more important than me."
Wow.
Oh, it still gives me goosies because that moment was so real. And in my stomach, I felt like I got punched. Like I physically felt like I got punched. I couldn't breathe. And I remember my eyes drowning in tears and it, you know, and I remember them drowning. And I thought to myself, like, that is the perception of my five-year-old. My five-year-old thinks that my job is more important than him just because I can't show up in his classroom and staple papers in the back or, you know, do that type of a thing. And that's when I knew that something had to change because I still had two other kids that weren't in school yet. And, you know, and I said, "Well, baby, no, of course my job isn't more important than you are." And he said, "Every day that's what it feels like." And the tears just fell. And he said it so casually, like my eyes are already, you know, he said it so casually. He just continued coloring his little worksheet and it broke me inside. And it was like, how can I create more time? God, please, 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 please help me create more. I need to have more time. Like, I don't know how to get more time. I know that's not like physically possible, but help me create a way to have more time. And I recognized in that moment, oh my gosh, it's this business. And I'm gonna have to give up some time to create more time. And I'm okay with that. And I will tell you that, you know, I was doing an insane amount of number of home presentations every week. Like we're talking like 13 a week. That was one Monday through Friday and, you know, 4 to 7 each day of the weekend. Like my calendar on a Saturday was an 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7. And I was out there and I was hitting it hard. And they say, like we say, like, yeah, of course you would love to have the success that I've had. And of course you would love to live the life that I'm living today. But would you have been willing to pay the price that I paid? For 4 months, I did not spend a Saturday or a Sunday at home. It was high and by and fly to the night, and it was crazy. And that's like, we want to paint a pretty picture, like, oh, I just woke up and my network marketing business was exploding. And no, it never happens that way. And if someone ever tells you it happens that way, they are full of all of the things that you don't need to hear and you probably shouldn't be a part of. So, you know, it was just that moment. And I just made that decision, Rob, and I just went for it. And I sunk my teeth into it. And 11 months later, I was able to walk away from my career. I was able to have that time. Like, I didn't send my kids to school that Monday, right? They're kindergarten, preschool, and toddler status. And I was like, it's a brand new chapter, guys. Like, mommy doesn't have to work anymore. Like, what do you guys want to do? We're not going to school. Like, what do you want to do? And the kids are like, let's go to Jamba Juice. And I was like, we're doing it. And it was the beginning of a completely different life and a completely different lifestyle. And I'm just so, so grateful because at the end of the day, did I love my students? Every single one of them, all 746, when they graduate high school, I get there. When they're in college, they still there Instagramming me. I love my students, but I had three kids at home at that time that I loved so much more. And of course, now, you know, I have an extra that we've added to the brood in the last few years.
I love that. Oh, that's such a powerful story. I mean, some of the things that I think about, I've always been, I don't know, we have our different strengths and weaknesses. I've always been blessed with long-term vision, like crazy long-term vision. I mean, I thought about years ago when I was in my early 20s about how I wanted to make enough money that I could take all my kids and grandkids. This is early 20s on a trip every single year. I know, like, that's just how I think. But I a question that I would say for all of you is just, I know it sounds morbid, but just imagine it on your deathbed. What will you wish you had more of? And that will help you to live your life now. Now understand that you'll say, well, I don't wish I would have more money. Well, that's not necessarily true. It's as Andrew talked about, it's what the money represents. It's not the money to have the money. It's the money for the vacations. It's the money to be able to not be at the job and take the kids to Jamba Juice. It's the it's all of that. I mean, I look at now, I've got in the next 11 months, I have three of the four places that would be the best family vacations ever that I would want to go. And three of those four already planned in the next 11 months. And I'm just like, I'm just freaking out, like just excited. I mean, last year we did seven family vacations, but again, people don't see that I missed anniversaries. I missed birthdays. I missed, you know, different things on Saturdays. I missed weekends. I missed games. I made all the sacrifices, but I think sometimes people misinterpret where, and then I'll get your parting thoughts on this, but, or on anything, but I think people think sacrifice is just missing. And unfortunately, they do a disservice to themselves and their families or whatever they're working for, future families, whatever. And they aren't doing the income producing activities. Look, if you're going to miss your kid's soccer game, you better can be calling brand new people and not just be like busy to be busy to showing the world I'm making this sacrifice. Like, you've got to make sure you're laser focused and doing what you know it takes to make it happen. Because I can't tell you how many people I know that are making, and I was one of those people, so I'm actually calling myself out. Like, I'm not watching, I didn't watch like 1 second of TV my first 6 months because I was in launch mode. We all got to go through launch mode. Some of you got to go through relaunch mode.
Yep.
And I was like crazy sacrifices, like, oh, you know, friends want to do something. Nope, not doing it. But half the time I wasn't doing it because I felt like sacrifice equaled success. But I wasn't doing what I needed to do during the sacrifice time. So I'm just telling you all, especially when you make big sacrifices, make sure you make it count. Yeah. Make sure you make it worthwhile as you're doing it. So, you know, that's what I would say, just kind of listening, because I think a lot of people just misinterpret. But I would love to hear, you know, what would be one of the questions I love asking, because I know people go through different struggles. If you feel like you were working with someone, whether you're on your team or not, and they just said, I'm in a rut, I'm stuck, I'm bummed out, I'm burnt out, all same things in a different way. What would you say as far as advice that you would give them to get unstuck, to get out of their rut, to get out of burnout stage, and to go wreck some havoc and make those dreams happen?
Oh, sure. You know, I have an acronym. I'm a former teacher, so we make acronyms out of everything. Like, we should just have our own acronym like book. But to me, RUT means this. RUT means the really ugly truth.
Ooh. I'm going to give you credit the first two times, and then after that, I usually forget who. So don't be offended. First two times, I'm giving you credit.
Cool. I'm glad to know that. But you guys can all know where that came from. But no. But RUT for me, I like I said, I've titled that as a really ugly truth, because when you get into a rut, the really ugly truth is you put yourself there. And I'll talk about the three different reasons why I say that. Number one, I don't believe that if you are a possibility thinker, I don't believe that if you are growth focused, I don't believe that if you are action oriented, that you can be burnout. Burnout comes from being in a negative mindset. Burnout comes when you're comparing your journey to others. Burnout comes when you're utilizing all your energy in the wrong places, whether you're doing non-income producing activities or you are, you know, contributing to team drama and gossip over team belief building. That's where burnout comes in. Because if you are in a positive place, positive mind, positive energy, positive action, it's impossible to become burnt out, because positive just brings on more positive. But when you slide over into that negative space, you're depleting your level of energy with all those negative things. And that's where burnout takes place. So there's one reason why you're in a rut. So you might have to like really take a look at like, Am I growth focused or am I not? Am I positive? Am I a possibility thinker? Am I not? You know, am I success and action oriented or am I not? And recognize that the way that you're thinking, the way that you're allowing your emotions to dictate your actions, that's actually what's keeping you there. And the longer you stay there, the deeper that rut gets. It's kind of like when you get your tire stuck in the mud, the more you rev the gas in that rut, the deeper the hole gets, right? And so the other really ugly truth of being in a rut is thinking for one single moment that your rank, your title, your check, your anything has eliminated your responsibility to continue to put those fundamental building blocks in play. See, a lot of times people achieve a rank, even if it's the first one, they're like, you get to that rank, you're like, oh, I made it. Now everybody's going to go. And no, it doesn't work that way. And you've got to kind of keep your foot on the gas. You don't have to be in full speed all the time, but you've got to keep your foot on the gas to continue to drive well in that lane, right? So when you take your foot off that gas, when you back off of that activity, when you're not doing the things that you should be doing on a daily basis to build your business, that's when you're going to create that rut, and that's where you get stuck. So then you have to ask yourself, did I show up for my business today? Organizing papers, watching training videos, those types of things, going on your website, that is not showing up for your business. Regardless of what company you're a part of, what business you're in, prospecting is the number one. Prospecting is the number one. So did I show up for my business today? Meaning, did you talk to somebody? Did you share the business? Did you share the products? Did you share the services? Did you share something with somebody today? Because if you didn't show up. And every time that you don't show up, you take a backseat to success. And eventually you're so far in the back of the bus or so deep in that rut that you're like paralyzed because you don't even know what to do. So the third reason why you're going to end up in that rut is a really ugly truth that you have yet to become the person you need to be to lead the business or the team that you want to have. I'm a huge, huge proponent of personal growth. When you start with me, we start your personal growth journey right there. If you don't have a personal development plan in place, we're going to create one together, because at the end of the day, here's my wholehearted belief. And this started from when I was in a classroom. I will tell you, I sat across from a parent every single year at back to school night and parent teacher conferences. And I would say, hey, listen, fifth grade is a challenging year. We have more standards, more concepts, more everything that these kids have to learn. But here's the deal. I really don't care if they know the capitals to every single state. I really am not concerned with if they can multiply to automaticity or if they can do these things. My number one care, concern, and priority is that your child leaves here better than they came to me, which means they're more respectful, they're more compassionate, they're kinder, they're looking out for others. That's the thing. That's what I care about. And if that's okay with you, we're going to have a great year. I can guarantee you, they might not come out of here the sharpest crayon in the box, but they're going to come out of here a better human than when you brought them to me. That is my job. And I believe that that is our job with the people who are coming into our business. It is not. At the end of the day, people come, people go. It's part of the way things work. Somebody leaves my team, I'm like, high five, good luck to you, brother. I hope, or sister, I hope that everything I taught you gives you success where you're going, right? At the end of the day, Our job, what we get to do, yes, we have products, and yes, there's opportunity, and yes, there is life-changing income. Do not get me wrong. But at the end of the day, our job is to get a hold of these people and help them become better. Better moms, better dads, better spouses, better employees, better sisters, better partners, better everything in their life. Because if you can help them become better in one area, you can make everything else around them better. And there's an indirect and a direct impact on everybody around them. And you've done your work. Like, that is our job, right? At the end of the day, that's what we want. So personal growth is huge. And if you are not on a personal growth plan, if you are not reading and learning and applying and teaching, then you are disservicing every single person you're bringing onto their team. Because if you can't grow them here, you're never going to help them grow a check. And your team will become as developed as you are. Undeveloped people, underdeveloped people. Do you want a team of underdeveloped, or do you want a team of developed people who have the mindset, who have the long-term vision, who have the emotional capacity to ride the roller coaster? We don't want to put a kid with motion sickness on a roller coaster because they're going to throw up everywhere and ruin the ride, right? Same thing with the people in your business. You want to equip them with all of that in order for them to be successful. Because I can guarantee you that if you pour into their life and you actually contribute to them as a person and grow who they are, they're gonna grow their team, they're gonna grow the business, they're gonna grow the culture bigger than you'd ever imagined. And that's what our job is. That's what we're here to do.
Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, do we just all just say amen? I mean, I just think that we go, like, I'm just listening to all that. so big. I mean, think about it. She just talked about progress mindset. It's the one of the my favorite quotes of all time is it's impossible to be grateful and unhappy at the same time. So if you're burnt out, if you're in a rut, if you're struggling, then you're ungrateful. One of my favorite stories is the Kobe Bryant story, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. He's like having one of his best years, but he's in a rut from three-point land. And at the time, he had made only a couple three-pointers out of almost 30 three-pointers. It was high 20s, like I think it was something like 4 of 28, which is abysmal, especially for someone as good as him. And the reporter looks at him and he's like, Kobe, how are you going to get out of that rut that you're in from three-point land? He looked at the reporter with this like death look, like he was going to kill him. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm not in a rut. The ball just hasn't gone in yet. Because he truly did marry the process and divorce the results. He truly was focused on, right, what can I learn from this? How can I get better? And he was so focused on it. Because I think too many people are victims of their past. Yep. And some people even prisoners of their future. You got to use your future to have a vision that moves you. But the focus and emphasis always has to be on the present. Some days we walk, some days we jog, some days we sprint, right? But the goal is always just progress. I got a wonderful quote from the four kids. Actually, it was from two of the kids. 8-year-old gave it to 5-year-old. 5-year-old gave it to my wife. Wife gave it to me. And having a quote in network marketing never leaves because we talk too much. And especially, have you ever seen those man quote pictures? Like the men are like crazy dramatic. So yeah. I'm trying not to be drama. I'm trying not to be drama as we go and we have some fun here. But I think it's just so important for all of you as you heard all of those different tips. So you ever get burnout, come back and watch. Watch what you just talked about. Focus, focus. What are you focusing on? Are you focusing on all the negatives? Or are you focusing on all the positives and the journey and the progression and everything you learned and where you're headed and the direction? Yep. And all of those things. And I promise you do that, it'll make a huge difference for you.
Absolutely. And I think there's a difference between a rut and a plateau. A rut is like almost like it's a little bit exhaustive. You're feeling like you don't know the way out. Right? That's a rep. But like a lot of us sometimes can confuse that with a plateau. You're going to run into plateaus in your business, right? Like rockets only soar for so long, right? That's just the way that it goes. So you're going to run into these plateaus in your business. And here's my advice for my leaders when they get there and they're like, but I went from rank to rank to rank, or I was able to recruit this many people and then this many people. And then I'm at this place. And I'm like, oh my gosh, plateaus are really pretty destinations. And if you can visualize for a second, just actually stand, like if you were out in Zion or Grand Canyon or you're out hiking somewhere and you're climbing, 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 and you reach a plateau, nobody gets to that plateau and they're like, oh, this sucks. Huh. Like, oh my gosh, this is awful. Two things happen. You're like, whoo, okay, rest for a moment. And then you look up and you look out. And you have this incredible view and perspective that you didn't have before, right? And I always say, appreciate the pause.
And gratitude of what you've accomplished to be able to get that. So you had to climb, right?
Yeah, you totally had to climb. You totally had to put in some work. You totally had to get there. And it's like now you're at this plateau. It's kind of like even when you're working out and you have those they call them resting movements, right? Recovery movements. You're still moving, but the burn went away, right? Like you're in that moment and you're on that plateau. Appreciate that pause. Take a look around. And oh my gosh, this is where self-assessment is so great, because look at who you had to be to get to this point. Look at what you had to do to get to this point. And every level requires a new level of you, right? We know that. So who do I need to become? What skill set do I need to develop? How can I become better? You know, what feedback have I gotten from my team or other leaders that I can really hone into and grab a hold of and get stronger at, so that I am equipped for that next climb? Because I'm a firm believer, and you know, whether you're a believer or not, that God keeps you where you are until you learn the lesson. And so don't ever look at a plateau as a negative thing. Like, relish that accomplishment. But in that same time, keep moving, keep jogging in place. But in that same time, figure out who you need to become, what skill set you need to develop, so that you can become a better leader, develop more leaders along the way, so that you can bring a whole new troop, right, to climb that next mountain with you. That's the important part. So there's two different mindsets when it comes to rut and a plateau and how to really break free of those.
Love it. Well, this is why we love teachers and coaches and pastors and all the people that are learning how to effectively communicate to, these, just communicate to people in a way. I mean, you love the analogies, and that's all we're doing in this business. I always wanted to communicate the information well enough people can make an educated decision, because too many people are saying no without making an educated decision. So I just want to say thank you so much. I know everybody else is grateful as well. Thanks for making time.
Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. I love the insights. I love the perspective. So I appreciate you, Andrea. I appreciate your time. Until next time.
Hey, thanks. Super excited. Thanks, everybody. Bye, Rob.
Thanks so much for tuning in and listening to my podcast. If you're loving the podcast, make sure you go smash that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the latest and greatest podcasts. And as always, please go leave a 5-star rating review. And then the last thing I always want to mention to all that listen to podcasts is if you go to www.robsperry.com, I have tons of free content there to help you out to build your network marketing business.